All right. Via Twitter, Brian, I don't know if we can cite this in formal reporting, okay?
Right.
In fact, just lest anybody be confused, I've lost my way, we definitely can't.
All right.
But, landfill, according to a person on Twitter, there's a lady that works inside FedEx Stadium. Not sure what department, but she said the scuttle was in April the sale would be completed. So according to a lady at FedEx, and we're not sure what department she works in, April is the timeline.
Now, are we talking FedEx Field or like the FedEx Kinkos?
I mean, maybe it's all of FedEx. You think all of Federal Express is for sale, B?
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. Let's get to the BetQL guest line. Our guy Barstool Nate is on the line. Nate Dogg, what up, man?
What a scoop, JD. What a scoop that is. How do I... according to the person making their copies, the team might be sold. That is exclusive stuff you can only get here. Wow.
I'm going to text you the tweet so you can retweet it if you want.
My number.
Nate Dogg, here's what we're doing. It's a vibe check. I don't know if you saw what happened with the Angels, with Arte Moreno.
I sure did.
But the team was for sale, and then it wasn't.
Yep.
So we're checking in with the people here in D.C., any concern?
No, don't.
I'm just asking. It's a vibe check, Nate. Where are you at on the vibe scale?
This is classic. We can't talk about the Wizards. Our football team.
We can talk about the Wizards, dude. They just made a big trade.
Yeah.
You want to talk Wiz?
Here's the thing. The team's being sold. I don't even like you suggesting. I don't like you putting it into the universe.
Clearly, you haven't been listening to the show. Brian and I both believe the team is being sold, and it'll happen soon.
Of course it's being sold. Yes. 100. All the millions and millions of listeners of this program right now, let me be the voice of reason. JP is just trying to scare you.
No,
JP,
I'm not. You are not here. You have no idea. The phone lines just lit up with people telling us he's not selling. He's moving to London. He's not selling.
They're taking the team to London from one guy.
Well, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to calm all those people down because JP and B-Mitch, you guys are doing a great job. You guys are getting the phone calls and the engagement and the interaction that you deserve and need because you are the best radio show in the world. I'm here to be the voice of reason to all the panicky Pete's out there. Dan Snyder is selling. He's not going to get cold feet. And if he does get cold feet, out of the 1% chance he does not sell, the owners in the league will kick him out. They will not tolerate him anymore. So either way, he is done.
I think that's a great point. I also think there is economic forces in play here.
Yeah.
That, dude, he can't get a deal done anywhere new. Like, he as long as he owns that team, they're staying at FedEx Field, which is a money loser at this point, or certainly not as much of a money maker as other
not
places.
As lucrative as it once
exactly.
thought it was.
So I think this is all happening. I do think you can also look at what the Washington Post has reported about the Nats, that the Nats were up for sale. It was going to go fast. Then all of a sudden, it isn't. And now they might not be up for sale, and it might just be a limited partner. I think the Nats situation is super unique because of the Orioles deal with Masson and all of that.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a lot of comparison. I think he's selling, but it's hard to just like look at the forecast of how things are right now and be like, oh, yeah, it's a done deal. What did of the New York Post report?
I've watched enough TV and enough Succession to understand that weird, crazy stuff happens with billionaires and billionaire families and backdoor deals and politics and this and that. I get it. A lot of crazy stuff goes on that you and I can't even comprehend. It's so far above our brain. But
we've watched Succession.
When it comes to Dan Snyder selling this football team, I, Eric Nathan, a.k.a. Barstool Nate, give it my 100% stamp of it is happening, no doubt about it.
What did you make of the New York Post report that Jeff Bezos would consider selling the Washington Post if it helped him buy the Washington Commanders?
Well, yeah, so two things on that. One, it's funny that he's like, yeah, I'm willing to sell a newspaper. I haven't even seen a newspaper in the last 10 years of my life. I wouldn't even, if I saw one, I'd be stunned. Like I just saw a ghost. Like, oh, that's what a newspaper looks like. Whoa. So yeah, no kidding. He's willing to sell a newspaper. I'm willing to sell, you know, my phonograph. So that's not a big deal. But the other thing is I do not care if Bezos buys the team or not. He's become the front runner and everybody's favorite. But I think when we take a step back and just look, it's like he's one of the people. We don't know what type of owner he would be. He's just a big name, and we know he would probably build us an awesome stadium. But I'm in the anybody but Snyder camp. If it's Bezos, great. If it's one of the other five candidates, wonderful. I don't have any eggs in the Bezos basket. I don't really care if it's him. I'm not rooting for him. I'm just rooting for it to get done. If it's him, great, and I hope that he returns us to the promised land. If it's not him, oh, well, it'll be some other guy worth $10 billion. Like, I'm not overly concerned with
What's
him buying the
first move you would expect from a new owner?
Say that again, please?
First move you would expect from a new owner?
The new owner is going to have a lot of, I don't know what to call it, like community work to do, but I guess just winning back the trust of not just the fans, but also, you know, the people with the money and the decision makers, the politicians, to get the new stadium. He's going to have to meet with Virginia, meet with D.C., meet with Maryland, and just really figure out what the new owner can do to make things better across the board. And then it gets into the money talk. Where's the best place to build the stadium? And maybe the new owner has friends in one state or another and lobbyists here and there. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on, but I think the first move is to win over the trust of the fans and the trust of D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and then just move forward from there.
It's going to be interesting with the new owner.
Very.
What do you think? I tend to agree with you. I think people are interested in the Bezos stuff just because he's a guy they've heard of. And,
yeah.
Like, outside of that, if it's just some kind of nameless billionaire – that might be preferred, honestly, because then it's not this celebrity type thing. But either way, I think you just want a well-run organization. And
I mean, honestly, that's a great point. I don't want the owner to be the most famous person on the team. I don't like Jerry Jones, how he gives press conferences and speaks to the reporters after games. I find that crazy. It's almost like he just took off his pads and he then talks to the reporter scrum. That's so unnecessary. The owner should be the owner. The players should be the players. The coaches should be the coaches. GM the GM, etc. I don't want the owner. I would prefer an owner that we never see or hear of. Like I couldn't name you 2/3 of the owners' names in the NFL. That's the way I like it. Same way you shouldn't know the rest names. You shouldn't know any of these guys' names because you only know the ones that screw up. And I would prefer our owner to go under the radar, be a smart guy or girl who does the right decisions and hires the correct people to do the jobs that Dan Snyder tried to do for 20 years. I don't want any more of that. So maybe Bezos.
I think ultimately, Nate, though, it's more like that because we haven't won. Because we know who Bob Kraft is, and we don't care because he does well all the time.
Sure. That's a good point.
We know most of the successful teams' owners. Because they're around, but they don't force themselves. The owners that we know that have losing teams and not great franchises, we don't want to know about them. But if this team was winning, I don't care about the owner being known.
My thing is, I think perhaps it's because it's kind of my line of work, I can name probably every owner in the NFL. What I can't name and what I think would be a dream scenario for Commanders fans 5 years from now is because it's going to be a transition period. And anybody that's ever changed jobs or you work at a company and it gets sold, like anytime this stuff happens, there's going to be a transition period. And it'll take some time for everything to kind of settle in.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope once new ownership is firmly implanted, involved, you know what I can't name around the league? Team presidents. Who's in charge of the business operation?
Yeah.
The GMs, the talent evaluators, that's the football side of things. That gets talked about. But let's have a situation where, and Jason is a pretty forward-facing person, right? And he had to be because of the situation he walked into and the massive amounts of just mess that was there. But I'd love to not hear from these people. Just have a good business model and make money and sell tickets. And you don't, like, I don't even know who has Jason Wright's job with the Wizards and the Capitals.
Yeah.
And those are, the Caps have won a title. The Wizards are kind of fringe playoff team, but they just run the business and it's not a story. That's what I want with the Commanders.
I think with Jeff Bezos, it's the fact that he's worth $120 billion. And I think people look at things that we've done, and they look at things that have not been done, and they go, oh, the lack of money. You look at Jeff, you suspect that that would never happen. And I think that's what a lot of fans push for him.
Can we just not compare the Wizards to the Caps ever again, please?
But it's same ownership is what I'm saying.
I understand. Yeah, no, the Wizards are just – we don't speak about it enough. The Wizards are the Cleveland Browns. The Wizards are pound for pound the worst franchise in the NBA over the last 40 years. It's pathetic what the Wizards are.
That seems
– no, it's just stats. It's just numbers.
Is that right? I mean – listen, I've been a Bullets fan my whole life. You might be right, but my point wasn't about the Wiz. My point, pick whoever you want.
You triggered me talking about the Wizard.
Whoever you want to talk, pick the – dude, let's talk about Harris, because if it's not Bezos, it seems like it's going to be this dude, Josh Harris.
Yeah.
Look at how he runs the Devils and the Sixers. The Devils were bad for a while. He turned them around. I think they're second in the East. The Sixers were bad for a while. They got turned around. I think they're third in the East. Like, they're both viable playoff threats. I don't ever hear anything about the business organization.
The president.
But, like, what the hell? I don't care. The Atlanta Braves, the New Orleans Saints, like, pick the Seattle Kraken, whoever the team is. Like, we don't hear about the business operation. That's what I want with the Commanders.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. When we do hear about the business side of the Commanders, it's usually them screwing up. It's the Sean Taylor debacle. It's this, it's that, and then it's FedEx Field, and we can't get a stadium. It never ends. But we know more about the business operations of our football team than I know about my own finances, like on my laptop right now. It's crazy to me.
Right, I agree with that. I think that's really well said. So let's talk a little about the football field, shall we? What do you make of the offensive coordinator search?
It's just such a funny way of asking it. it worries me that, you know, Ron's been around for 50 years, whatever. He's been part of the league forever. He has a lot of friends, and he has a very old school style of thinking and coaching, and it worries me that we are going to get a retread and a person who has been running the same boring offense for the last 10, 15 years, bouncing from team to team. And what we need is someone young, someone who has a full understanding of the current day NFL and how defenses and offensive work. And I'm very nervous that Ron is just going to hire a buddy of his, a friend of his, and it's just going to be another year of boring, bad offense.
I saw something yesterday. A guy said, basically, we keep saying we need a young, innovative person. Scott was supposedly that.
Sure.
Scott's 30-something years old. He was a young, innovative person. So I don't care how old the person is. I just need the person to come out here and have something that works. Because I see Andy Reid as one of the oldest coaches in the league, he still has some youthfulness and some fun with it.
Totally.
You know, it has to be a coach who could do. I look at Pete Carroll. He has fun with his guys, and they seem to play for him. So I don't care how old the person is, because just because you're young don't mean that you're going to be great.
I agree with that. There's this assumption that being a run-first team is bad, too, which is incorrect. The Niners are a run-first team.
Oh, yeah.
The Rams last year were a run-first team. The Seahawks this year, the success they had was because they ran the ball so well. So, we frame these narratives around what should and shouldn't be, and they're just inaccurate. But still, to your point, Nate, I would – the Zampezi-Shermer offensive coordinator candidacies don't move the needle much, because there's a track record for these guys, and it's not very good.
Yeah. I don't know how to put it nicely. It would be a debacle. It would be terrible if either of them were hired as the offensive coordinator. I think it would be bad for Sam Howell if that's actually who we're rolling with as our starting quarterback. I think it would be just a big step back for the franchise. I just, I'd rather roll the dice again with someone, a coordinator, someone new, someone up and coming, than settle for someone like Zampezi, who we just know who he is, and it just doesn't inspire anything. I'd rather swing for the fences and fail than, you know, just try to settle for a single. Let's just go for it. If we're revamping this team, if we have a young quarterback who is athletic with a big arm, we have all these weapons at wide receiver. Let's just go for a young coordinator who has ideas and can just really just go for it. I just do not like old retreads who bounce team to team because it's the old boys club and blah, blah, blah. I cannot stand that.
But I think looking for that in this situation is kind of asking for something that's kind of impossible virtually, because I don't think the top of the line guys are going to be saying, yes, I'm going there, when everybody could be gone and we can all be gone in 6 months.
Like if new ownership comes in and cleans house?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a risk you got to be willing to take. Like Thomas Brown, he intrigues me. I don't know a ton about him, but you know, you work under
McVay. He hasn't called plays yet, but it'd be an opportunity for him.
Is he also interviewing with San Diego, supposedly?
San Diego.
I mean, the Chargers.
I don't know if he is. He had an interview with the Texans to be the head coach, though. So, he's going to have opportunities. If I was Thomas Brown, and even if I don't get another offer, I'd be a little nervous to come here, and let's just say it doesn't go well. I don't know that a lot of folks are that optimistic about this offense this fall. And then does he ever get the opportunity again?
Yeah.
If I had to handicap it, I still think Shermer's probably the leader in the clubhouse. But we'll see. Nate, we got to run, man. We're kind of late already. Yo, good luck with the apartment stuff, dude. It sounds like a nightmare, and I'm sorry.
It's the biggest nightmare of my life. It's terrible, but thank you. Yeah.
You can move into B. Mitch's mansion if you want.
His house is so big that he would not even know that I was living there.
You could live in the garage. Like, he has like a 2-bedroom garage.
No, I've seen it. It's ginormous. I would be lifting weights and just eating all this food, and you would have no idea.
Goodbye, dude.
All right, Nate.
Yeah.
That's our friend Barstool Nate. When we come back, we haven't talked about Chris Harris leaving the Commanders. Time to do it. Listen, guys, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to draw comparisons to the flu game or anything, but I did scratch my eye, and it's watering, and I'm just gonna keep going. All right?
Unfortunately, your job entails your mouth.
It helps to see.
You don't have to see to talk.
All right, fine. Tell me what you see then, B. Commanders defensive backs coach Chris Harris has a good reputation around the league. If you remember last year, I think there were reports that some teams were interested in interviewing him for a D coordinator job. I don't know I don't remember if that came to fruition or if it was just reported. And there's a report now, it more or less seems a certainty, that Chris Harris will be hired as the defensive backs coach for the Tennessee Titans. And he also gets the passing game coordinator title.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tom Pelissero, I believe, NFL Network was the first.
Half the way to being DC?
Maybe. Or it's a made-up title to make it seem easier for a guy to leave for a lateral step. Regardless, it's nothing official yet, because Harris is still in the mix for D coordinator jobs, and there's some feeling around the league that maybe he could get the Chicago job.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you'd want to take a D coordinator job over a DB's coach.
Yeah.
For a relatively young guy. I mean, he just got done playing within the last 10 years. Let's say, just for the sake of conversation, Brian, that the coordinator job doesn't occur, and he's going to Tennessee. Do you call that a lateral move, or does the title of passing game coordinator change it?
I think the title changes it some, because if you go to a lot of teams, there are passing game coordinators offensively and defensively.
You hear about it offensively all the time.
And you hear about it, but it's on both sides of the ball. And if I get more responsibility, and that's why I said halfway there, if I go to interview and I'm just a defensive back coach, I'm a defensive back coach. If I go to interview and I'm a defensive back coach and I was the passing game coordinator, I have one more step closer, you know? But I have to show that I have some understanding of the run game defense as well. So I think it's a lateral but a little step up than it is.
It's like a lateral plus one.
Because if it was completely lateral and he didn't get permission, he probably couldn't have been able to do it. But that's where I begin to look at it, where he's already talking to somebody saying, like, this is a, if he don't get another job, he's going here. Did something happen here?
I wouldn't call it a step up. I would call it like a ramp. Like there's a little bit of a ramp.
It's a ramp. It's a slight. It may not be a big step. Like you go in some patios outside.
Yeah.
You have a slight step.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you go up on a deck, you got two, three steps. So, but.
Do you know where Harris went to school? I believe this is a rival of yours.
Louisiana Tech?
Louisiana Monroe.
Monroe, yeah. No, rival. We beat him every time, so.
He played for Rivera with the Panthers when Rivera was coaching there. Last year, he had the interview with the Eagles for their DC job. I wonder a few things. I wonder if his contract was expiring, and so he didn't have to seek permission. I don't know the answer to that. I'm asking that. I've heard that there may be some family reasons to try to get to Tennessee. Not sure how accurate that is. I think his wife might be from Tennessee. Mm. But my bigger question is, this is a team that appears to be going through a sales process.
Yeah.
Like a team is up for sale. You got no old coordinator. You just lost your defensive backs coach, or it looks like you're losing him one way or another. How big of a deal is a guy that, whether his contract expired or not, at most is only taking a partial step up to leave your organization?
Mm.
And maybe it's not a big deal.
I mean, it may not be a big deal, but, you know, I think there are some rumblings out there that they didn't know that his contract was expiring.
I don't know that either.
No, but I'm saying there's some rumblings out there that's saying that. So when I hear rumblings from certain people, I take it as fact. So
how could they not know his contract was expiring?
We did not know we could get kicked out of out of a playoff game in a game. So I'm just saying maybe there's so much micromanaging that we're not knowing enough of what's happening all around. Because as well as that guy was with his DBs, and much as they like him, and as much as they tried to praise him, and we've heard even media people promote him and talk about him, I don't think you wanted him to just leave out of your coaching staff.
Well, how do you balance the undeniable development of young DBs, Cam Curl, St. Juice, Derek Forrest, with the failure of William Jackson III? I mean, that was a disaster.
Hey, he didn't sign William Jackson. William Jackson came in here already knowing some stuff. And I've always said when you get a top-notch free agent that comes into your team, that's not on the coach that's here to coach him. It's on whoever signed him. Because most of those guys are stuck in their own ways. And if you drafted – if you sign the guy that doesn't play what you're playing, how are you going to blame that on the person that's designed to coach somebody to teach him when he refuses to learn it? I don't put that on Chris. Now, the young guy came in. They want to learn what this defense entails. They seem to be taking the steps up. Kendall Fuller came in here as a free agent and learned what was the steps up. William Jackson just did not want to go away from it. I'm thinking they told William one thing, and when he got here, they tried to change it to something else. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a person that when, like, Jalen Hurts, his emergence, I think is 80 to 90% Jalen Hurts. Like, I'm sure there are coaches that help and putting him in the right scheme helps, but Most things in on this planet are up to the person to get them done.
The coach give you, like, I give you a sheet. This is what I want you to go by. You have to be a dedicated enough person to take these things and work on them on a daily basis and see where you're improving. And then when you start seeing it, you even work even harder. Jalen Hurts is that guy.
Right.
Some guys aren't.
And so, but so for me, like, Curl, like Cam Curl, for instance, seventh rounder. I think there was some question about his size. He's answered that.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the smartest, most intuitive football players I've ever talked to.
Mm-hmm.
I think Harris obviously helped, but I'm not. Del Rio might have helped. Working with some veterans as a young guy might have helped. Mm-hmm. Ron might have helped. But I think Curl, by and large, is the reason he improved.
But it could be Curl. Just like I would go through my career. I put in the work, just like what Snoop said. And most of all, I want to thank me. I was the one that put in the work.
Right.
So, but ultimately, forgot his name.
Cam Curl?
No,
Chris Harris?
My coach from my first year.
David Culley?
Don Bro. The stuff he told me and gave me to go by helped out tremendously. When I got to Philadelphia, after 10 years in the league, Ted Williams was able to help me by giving me certain things as an older guy to learn some more things. But I had to be the one to go put in the work because Ted can't follow me around every day.
I thought Ted Williams was a baseball player.
No, this Ted Williams is that one is, but this Ted Williams from Compton.
He was multi-talented.
He was my coach in Philly. But the
Ted
thing
Williams
about it is,
from Compton, Liv.
Coaches set you up. They will set you up and give you the things that can help you out. Now, once you leave, it's all about what the player does. You know, the player has to go put in the work. I can tell you something every day to help you out. And if you don't implement it into your daily routine and try to make yourself better, that's not my fault. That's your fault. But I gave you the roadmap. You got to be the one to follow it.
Going to talk Super Bowl halftime shows at noon. We know who it's going to be. What was the best one ever? Remember Janet Jackson? Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley. Like, Jeff, you're my current hip-hop. I don't mean being greedy. I mean, he tells this lady just to be happy with this quickie.
Oh, yeah, you'll definitely quickie. get away with this song, for sure.
That song you played for me the other day by G-Unit, if you're making that song these days, you can get away with a lot. That was quite a song, quite a love song. R.I.P. Tupac. How about... anybody ready for some Aaron Rodgers news? I know B loves Aaron Rodgers
please
news.
Tell me, is he coming to Washington? That's the new rumor?
No.
Okay.
And honestly, I'm kind of happy we can shut that dumb stuff down.
Oh, no, it's going to come more.
When the Rui trade was kind of breaking down yesterday live in our show, mm-hmm. What did we say about Woj? Woj says it's real.
Yeah, it's happening.
So what do you say about Schefter?
Same thing.
Schefter says it's real. Per Adam Schefter, the Packers will not be trading Aaron Rodgers within the NFC Conference. Who plays in the NFC Conference?
What?
The Commanders. So we can shut that door.
Yeah.
So good. Because it was never going to happen.
So $50 million wherever he goes.
They do say they'll explore the idea of trading him to the AFC. Hello, New York Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Ravens.
Following the same path.
You mean Aaron goes to the
Brett Favre.
And they run the ball like that? Ooh.
I'd see the Jets making this kind of move, which frankly is probably a bad move.
I think that
I don't see the Ravens doing it.
That $50 million affects a lot of salaries, bro.
Yeah. I mean, we can give it a quick glance at some salary cap stuff. Going over the cap right now. The New York Jets, 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 Jets right now, or their cap's a bit messy, but I'm sure there's some stuff they could clean up. Jets cap is not that simple looking, honestly, to clear some space. You can always make things work, but so you said the Ravens, you think the Ravens could get rid of Lamar?
I'm just throwing out people that's in the AFC. That seem to have issues going on right now.
About the Texans.
Hey.
They got more issues than anybody. The Colts The Colts just go after another veteran quarterback. They've done it 100 times. It is interesting what teams have the most cap space. And if you're
got 92 mil.
If you're a Commanders fan, and somebody sent me this, which I think is completely irrelevant. But so the Bears ownership is trying to move out to the suburbs, right? They're trying to move to like an equivalent of, I don't know if it's Dumfries or Landover or what, but they're trying to leave the city where Soldier Field is and go out to the burbs because they got some sweetheart deal from some suburban community. But the city of Chicago is trying to keep them there, and they just rolled out this dope video of like a possible like major lakeside development with housing and public transportation. The video was cool as hell, right?
Yeah.
Forgive me, I don't know who sent this to me, but somebody sent it to me via Twitter. The Bears have $92 million in cap space?
Yes.
Deron Payne liked that post of the new Soldier Field. Again, it could be nothing, but Bears and Falcons had general managers talking about their need for interior pass rush disruption.
Bears got $36 million more.
Sure, but either one can make it work. Mm-hmm. I'm not. You expect the Payne to come back?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think if
how many times did Ron and Martin mention budget the other day?
A lot. I just think that the leading up to that situation, although it wasn't like the Kirk Cousins thing, people remember little things like that. And I think if he's back, it's on a tag. And I think the tag, based off of what the tag was developed for, is not what it's used for. The tag now is used as a deterrent not to let guys get paid. And it was supposed to be there to keep your top players.
Right.
And
it
now,
was supposed to be a mechanism to get you to work out a long-term
deal. Yeah, and
deal.
Now it seems to be a deterrent and like a negative. It was never designed to be a negative. It was always designed to be a positive. And it doesn't seem like that right now.
Here's what I want to do. Speaking about positives, anything involving Rihanna is a positive in my book.
Yes, it is.
Let's talk about the Super Bowl halftime that they've now announced. And I want to compare it to some classic Super Bowl halftimes. Pete Haley will join us at 1 o'clock. Don't go anywhere.